Hey guys, you are listening to the Fans of Wrestling Show here on the FOW Radio Network. I am Patrick with Danny Danger and Mika Villas. Back together another week. We are ready for the chamber. The Elimination Chamber, that is. And how are you guys doing this Wednesday night?
Doing well. Gearing up, as you said, for the Elimination Chamber this weekend. And a couple other wrestling events in and around the Atlanta area this weekend as well, WWE related ish. We can touch on a little bit later as well.
It is a wonderful time of year. We're on the road to WrestleMania, and the Elimination Chamber is going to be historic on so many levels. So let's get to it, boys.
Well, let's go ahead and get started with Elimination Chambers. We are getting set up for this show, which is going to be the first pay-per-view on the road to WrestleMania. And first and foremost, we are going to crown the first ever WWE Women's Tag Team Champions in a Tag Team Elimination Chamber match. And as we said last week, I'll name the contestants again. Nia Jax and Tamina versus Liv Morgan and Sarah Logan of the Riot Squad versus Mandy Rose and Sonya Deville versus Billie Kay and Peyton Royce, the Iconics versus The Hug and Boss Connection, Bayley and Sasha versus Naomi and Carmella. I think they have a name for themselves, but I didn't care enough to find out what it was.
Fabulous Glow.
Sure, there you go. Nonetheless, here we go. Six tag teams. We kind of discussed last week about, not seeing teams outside of the main roster. But we wish other teams had been involved. But, hey, they are going to highlight all the women, or at least most of the women on the roster here. First of all, the thoughts on the historic WWE Women's Tag Team Championships. I think something that had been rumored for a while is the women continue to evolve, and this revolution continues to get bigger and better. Now they have tag team championships. Of course, I believe the women's champions will not be linked to any one brand, so they may be able to jump from brand to brand. So both brands won't have their own tag team championships. But the significance of this and what else could be to come for the women in WWE?
Well, I mean, it is a big thing. It's interesting. I really wish they would have added an extra element to help make it set apart. Like, my hope is that they, especially the way that when the women's evolution was kind of in the earlier stages, we saw a lot of trios matches. You had Paige, and Mandy and Sonya Deville as Absolution. You had the Riot Squad, and it seems that every Monday and every Tuesday we got a 3-on-3 women's match. So I thought that they were building towards a women's trios title, but ultimately that is not the case. We're going to tag titles. We did find out on Raw and SmackDown an interesting part. We know which two teams will start in the match. They had those three, each brand had a three-way tag to determine which team would start. So the Boss and Hug Connection will start, as well as Mandy and Sonya will start for the SmackDown side. So we know the teams that are at the quote-unquote disadvantage. Although I do still believe that these titles pretty much were tailor-made for the Boston Hug Connection, and that they will be the first champions. It'll even make it grander when they beat the odds by starting first, etc. But it is another interesting step in bringing more focus to the women's division, adding more storylines, with more championships, because then you have to have storyline matches for the championship. You have to have contenders matches. So you have your individual championships, and now you know, singles championships and now your tag championships where they can float. And we're also getting stories now, you know, that are, that lead to matches or at least a series of like a television feud that is not directly related to a championship, which is also kind of interesting. So it just fun to see where they're going with things. Good to see that they are trying to develop the women more as characters and more as athletes and wrestlers as well.
I agree with you. These titles were tailor-made for Bayley and Sasha. I kind of laughed watching the little vignettes on Raw and listening to the commentators talk about the Elimination Chamber before it was announced who would be the first two teams to go, you know, outside the pods, teams one and two, so to speak. Naomi and Carmella got no love on Raw, but everybody else, they've made storylines, like you said, to make these women seem like, oh yes, these tag titles, they mean the world. First ever. Again, let's not let WWE recreate their own history. These are not the first tag team titles. We'll call them the first women's tag team titles in the modern era. I guess
the first modern era. WWE, you know, tag. The others were all WWF.
No, I'm sorry. There get the go. F out.
Get the F out.
Yep. Get the F out. I'm sorry, my bad, but again, the evolution, pun always intended, of the women's division from then to now and forever, it looks bright because the WWE has signed more women competitors and they have a slew of women in the wings and NXT and what have you to make these tag titles mean something other than just putting them on Bayley and Sasha, which again, tailor-made, good for them, but it also helps to bring more women into the fold. I think we talked about I forgot what you call them, the NXT Io Shirai and
they're the Sky Pirates. The fucking Sky Pirates.
Is the F, we have to get the F out, so we can't say fucking. But the Sky Pirates, that brings them on a accelerated pace to the main roster if that's something that they want to do to have, again, these titles mean something. You said that they will have storylines, and I hope that's the case. To move away from the women just for a brief moment, the men's tag team titles don't really have storylines, especially on Raw, so it's just kind of, I hope it's not a throwaway, just to create titles, to put them on a team, and then to do nothing with them for a while until you remember, like, oh, we have a tag team. We should probably do something with them. But we'll see what happens in the Elimination Chamber. I expect to see Nia and Tamina eliminated first. But then again, they're high on the Samoans. That Samoan slaughterhouse was very cute, as they said they were deeming the chamber. I think they got that from Rocky. They might have called up their cousin and asked them, you know, what to say. But it's okay. Lines being filled aside, it should be interesting to watch these women again make history in the WWE, not the F.
All right, so who are we picking then? Are we sticking to our original choices?
Yeah, I'm still picking with Boston Hunt Connection. And that's because, you know, because of the same reasons that I mentioned. They want a babyface team to have the first victory. You know, Sasha and Bayley, especially Sasha, you know, with her feud with Charlotte, etc., as Bayley didn't come up in the original NXT call-up group, you know, they could go to WrestleMania and lose the belt.
It's Sasha Banks. They're going to lose them on Raw.
Okay? She'll lose them on Raw the next night. That's it, yeah. So, probably to Tamina and Nia Jax. But yeah, I'm still going with Boston Hunt Connection because they're the over babyface team, and they... you know, everybody gets the feel-good moment. Yes, they help create the women's evolution. Sasha can cry again, you know, as she likes to do as well. Thankfully, she's not as much of an ugly crier as some of the others, but she does definitely like to cry a lot and get very emotional with big victories. So we'll do that. We have a feel-good moment. Everybody celebrates, and then they lose the titles the next night, probably.
All right, so we're pretty much all in agreement. Bayley and Sasha Banks winning here, becoming WWE Women's Tag Team Champions. On the other side, the Elimination Chamber match for the WWE Championship. The new Daniel Bryan will defend versus AJ Styles. Jeff Hardy, Randy Orton, Samoa Joe, and Kofi Kingston. That's right. Kofi Kingston is replacing an injured Mustafa Ali, which is kind of a shame because I think we were really looking forward to Ali being in the match. But they replaced him with Kofi. At least Kofi can do some similar spots. But nonetheless, this match right here has six guys that will definitely bring their own style into the match, make it fun and special. But I think the New Daniel Bryan will retain the championship. He will overcome the odds because the man is a true champion. Not for the people, for the planet.
Yeah, I seem to think that, I mean, it's going to be an interesting match. Yes, I am upset that Mustafa Ali will not be in there. Their reasoning, you know, compounded injuries over the last couple months. I don't know. But, you know, Kofi's always a great addition. He always goes out there and busts his butt and puts on a good performance for the fans. You know, I expect him to jump off the cell, you know, something crazy like that. You know, so he's a good replacement if you're going to have to replace somebody. But I'm pretty confident that Daniel Bryan will retain. Now I don't know who his challenger will be for Mania once he retains. Not sure. I think, you know, we may figure that out depending on how things go in the chamber. I think Daniel pushes through and, you know, I mean, we saw on SmackDown that Randy Orton, you know, will be the final person entered into the chamber match. That was what he won in the gauntlet match. You know, he was the last person in, hit the RKO, pinned AJ, and then it was 10 o'clock on the dot and SmackDown ended with Randy Orton standing there. He hadn't even thrown his arms up to celebrate yet, and it was time to go. So they cut the show off. But so Randy will be the last one entering the chamber match officially. But I still think that Daniel Bryan, the new Daniel Bryan, retains. He's just doing his stuff. His character's getting over so well. You know, with the addition of Rowan and his promos, and just, of course, his match quality is always on point. So I think that he continues as champion, you know, leading into the WrestleMania.
It is the new Daniel Bryan will go to the next WrestleMania as champion. As you already said, Kofi is a suitable replacement. Kofi steps up for pay-per-views. It'd be a shock, to say the very least, if somehow Kofi used his athleticism and skill and underdog status to beat the other competitors and win the Elimination Chamber and go on to WrestleMania and main event. That just doesn't sound right, unfortunately. Daniel Bryan is that new pretty custom belt made out of wheatgrass and sorghum and whatever the hell else it is made out of. He's going to take that nice and biodegradable belt and go to WrestleMania. And the question about who his competition is going to be, that is where I think the chamber is going to come into play more so than anything. Will we see AJ again? Possibly not. AJ may have to step out, and we may have to see the likes of a Samoa Joe. So Daniel wins, but I say that Samoa Joe somehow becomes the number one contender for the WWE Championship.
That's definitely an interesting one. Now, I could definitely see that being a possibility. There's definitely a lot of great options. And we definitely know that this is definitely not headlining WrestleMania. One of the Raw matches will be. So there's no pressure to put a huge match for Daniel Bryan and the WWE Championship. And I think whatever match he does have will be great and will be a show stealer. It will be an entertaining one. And, you know, on the road to WrestleMania, they still have Fastlane next month, and that will probably set things up for the number one contender. And who knows what will happen at Elimination Chamber, so that also will play a part. Now, next match, WWE SmackDown Tag Team Championships. The Miz and Shane McMahon will be defending against the Usos. Miz and Shane are entering the Uso Penitentiary. Will they get out with their tag team championships? I think not.
I think the Miz and Shane retain, you know, leading into WrestleMania, because the story is there. They've devoted a lot of TV time to them. You know, they've, and that's, now, honestly, I watch SmackDown. The only segment I fast forward through is the Miz TV and the Miz stuff. I just don't really care for him. I just don't find him entertaining, especially when most of the time he doesn't really wrestle. You know, it's just a lot of talk and a lot of in the ring stuff. I definitely didn't care to hear the Usos talk. You know, so that's kind of constantly just fast forwarding over their segments every week. But I think because they've done so much time and developed so much time into them, unless they're building to a fallout between the team where Shane McMahon and The Miz fight each other at WrestleMania, I see them retaining the championships against the Usos.
Yeah, the Uso Penitentiary has been opened and closed a bunch of times. People have slipped in and out of there. The Usos are talented. They are a true tag team. But like I said earlier, there doesn't need to be a storyline per se to advance the tag team championships. Right now, the belts are very safe in the McMahon-Miz camp, and the best tag team in the world has a firm grasp, especially when Shane goes coast to coast on one of the Usos. Doesn't matter if it's Jimmy or Jay, they all look alike because they're twins, okay? And they're going to, you know, get beat by the boss's son and some guy who wears suits that cost more than Naomi's hair weave. I said it. It's true.
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely see a world where the Usos do not win the championships and Shane and Miz retain, but assuming that Shane versus Miz is the match at WrestleMania, I mean, you gotta break the, you know, the championship team here at some point, get things rolling. They do have a lot of TV, but they'll probably do it now instead of Mania. We need some actually to get established with the tag team championships heading into WrestleMania. So let's get the belts away from The Miz and Shane. So the Cruiserweight Championship will also be on the line. Buddy Murphy will be defending against Akira Tozawa, who became the number one contender by winning a Fatal 4-Way Elimination match. I think Tozawa, a good choice here, as Buddy Murphy continues to go through all of the Cruiserweights and going through this fantastic run that, man, when the machine gets behind you, and, you know, it's fantastic. Buddy Murphy having probably the most success he's had in his career, and deservedly so. He's putting out fantastic matches in 205 Live and doing a great job as a heel champion. And I think that this one he will retain one more time. And I wouldn't be surprised if Buddy Murphy is WWE Cruiserweight Champion come WrestleMania.
Yeah, I don't really see Tozawa beating Buddy. I don't really know who would be next for Buddy, you know, leading into Fastlane and into WrestleMania. But I definitely see Buddy Murphy retaining, you know, as he continues his path, as he says, he's not, you know, his mission is against history. You know, even WrestleMania, they bring in somebody, you know, new between now and then, you know, possibly a returning legend or a great, you know, somebody like that, to challenge Murphy. Cause they, you know, they talked about on 205 about bringing in newer, you know, bringing in new talent and et cetera, scouring the globe and all this. So, you know, between now and then, maybe we get new challengers for Buddy. But I mean, he's pretty much controlled and dominated the division for so long. He's kind of beaten up just about every challenger there is. And I mean, he beat Tozawa in the Fatal Four Way just a few weeks ago, although not pinning Tozawa. It's, you know, yet again, they're both amazing talents. It's gonna be a fantastic match, but you can't stop the unstoppable.
Wow, the unstoppable, you say?
That's what he calls himself. He says, "I know, cannot stop the unstoppable."
I get it, but you brought up a good point that they're scouring the globe. There is a free agent out there yet to be named to any place or signed to anything that place that we know of. That goes by the name of Kushida. Buddy Murphy right now is running roughshod through the 205 Cruiserweight division. It's boring. Yes, he's good. He's had a lot of great matches, but it's boring to see him as I am not sold still on Buddy Murphy. Kushida, however, I know. Kushida, however, would give, I believe, a much needed kick, a spark of life to bring Buddy Murphy up. He is the champion, but to that next level, to that echelon, to that name around households that you speak and you go, oh yeah, that guy, I like him. He is talented, he is good, but he needs somebody that's going to push and challenge and just bring him up to that next level. And perhaps we see Kushida come in and we have Kushida versus Buddy Murphy at WrestleMania. That would make me excited to watch a Cruiserweight Championship match and hope that it not even be on the pre-show.
Next up for the WWE Raw Women's Championship, Ronda Rousey will defend against Ruby Riott. Here, Ronda going against a fresh opponent and somebody that I think will definitely push Ronda to her limit. And this should be a really fun match to watch. Which, of course, I believe Ronda Rousey will win. She will retain her women's championship. And she will be, hopefully, headlining WrestleMania.
Yeah, I mean, I love Ruby Riott. And, you know, she's one of the most athletically gifted women that they have on the roster. You can just see the fluidity of her movements is just kind of unlike, you know, her, pretty much her and Ember Moon just are very, very fluid in their movements that in ways that most of the women are not. That, you know, Ruby's a longtime veteran, you know, like 10 years on the indie scene, against men and women. So she will definitely push Ronda to her limits. It's going to be a fantastic match. I'm looking forward to it, but given all the storylines and everything of, you know, Ronda versus Becky and possibly now Ronda versus Charlotte, et cetera, et cetera, I'm afraid that no one's really buying Ruby has an actual chance of beating Ronda Rousey. So I think they have to do something within that match. They have to work a little harder to get fans to actually think that Ruby could win. You know, they have to work hard for those near falls and these kind of things to actually get the crowd invested, and kind of, you know, think that Ruby could be spoiler to everybody's hope of Ronda versus Becky. But I have absolute faith that they can deliver a good match. It's just, can they get the crowd into it like they need to, I guess, is the big thing.
Ruby is all that and a bag of chips. It's going to be interesting to see somebody else in the ring with Ronda who hasn't had such a buildup. Ruby's going to not outwork Ronda, but hopefully, much like Ronda in her first match, Ruby's going to help Ronda look more legitimate, more established, more of a wrestler than an MMA fighter turned wrestler than Ronda actually is. It's a huge nod to WWE and what they think of Ruby and her skill and her talent and her potential to be someone who could be in that main event echelon. Ronda could have by all rights and means, taken the night off for Elimination Chamber and not defended her title or not had a match. There could have been just an interaction someplace backstage and it would have been all well and good. But to have her in there with Ruby shows character as a champion, and it also keeps her fresh in the ring as we go marching down this road to WrestleMania, where who knows who Ronda will wind up in the ring with. But yes, make no mistake about it, Ruby will do the job well, and she will job well to Ronda Rousey.
For the WWE Intercontinental Championship in a handicap match, Bobby Lashley and Leo Rush versus Finn Balor. I think the odds are in the champion's favor, and Bobby Lashley will retain the Intercontinental Championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'm pretty sure Bobby Lashley's going to retain. Now, I mean, I really hoped that when Seth Rollins won the Royal Rumble that he was going to jump to SmackDown and challenge Daniel Bryan. I thought that would have been the big money match, and then that would have left Finn Balor open to continue against Brock Lesnar in a rematch, because I really enjoyed their match at the last live event, and was hoping that we would eventually get, you know, the Demon versus the Beast. And, you know, Finn Balor brought the fight to Brock, but, you know, he was going to have to do something extra. And so at WrestleMania, we would get the Demon versus the Beast. That does not seem to be the case whatsoever. Finn Balor, you know, going from Universal Championship contender to Intercontinental Championship contender. But I think Lashley retains here.
I think Finn is overdue for a championship. While Lashley is the destroyer, this 2-on-1 has it where Leo can be pinned. All Finn has to do is get Lashley incapacitated for 3 seconds while he beats Leo like the child that he looks like. And Finn Balor could be the new Intercontinental Champion. Finn has never been the IC champ, has he?
I don't think he has. I think he was Universal Champion for a day, but I don't think he's held championship gold since then.
So Finn has not yet done the trifecta or whatever we call it, where he's won every title in the WWE. He's just won the big one, so to speak. So now give him an IC title run up into and past WrestleMania, and then get him back into the Universal title picture after Seth Rollins beats the Beast and becomes Universal Champion. And then those two could feud. So I disagree with you, Danny. Finn Balor likes to show off and thrust his hips when the camera's on him when he enters the ring. He's going to thrust come Monday night with the IC title around his waist. The internet will explode.
Finally, as far as what's been announced, Braun Strowman versus Baron Corbin in a no disqualification match. I believe that this needs to be the end for Baron Corbin. Braun Strowman is finally going to get his hands on Corbin and put him away once and for all.
Yeah, I mean, unless Corbin has additional tricks up his sleeve to where he's kind of hired, you know, a dozen other people to come and help him dispatch of Braun, I think that, you know, Braun Strowman's pretty much just going to finally bring the scrawny neck of the Baron and put him down for the last time, I guess. You know, I mean, then where does Baron go from here? Down the rabbit hole, maybe. Yeah, we'll see where Baron goes, but you know, he may not go far once Braun slams the hell out of him.
Baron who? That's what we'll be saying after Braun destroys Corbin. It's time to repackage and reappropriate Corbin back to a real quote unquote superstar. Braun's gonna give him that well deserved rest and repackaging he'll need. And let's see what the Monster Among Men has to do on the road to WrestleMania, because there's still a lot to do with him. And he also is a person who is, quote unquote, deserving of a championship. So, but yeah, Baron who?
So that is Elimination Chamber.
Are you tired of the same old pro wrestling? Then check out the amazing action on Powerslam.tv, the biggest indie pro wrestling channel in the world. Get over 4,000 hours of the best pro wrestling events from over 110 of the biggest names in the industry from over 15 countries around the globe. Get your free trial today at Powerslam.tv.
All right, so now a few of the topics on WWE. And first of all, one that makes me very, very happy. The top guys are now WWE Tag Team Champions as The Revival defeated Bobby Roode and Chad Gable to win the titles in a great match on Monday Night Raw. But just when it was being rumored, talked about that they had requested their for the release, and they wanted out, here they are. And, you know, now rumors also, you know, talk about that WWE is not trying to put more of an emphasis on tag team wrestling to try to keep some of these talent happy. But, man, The Revival winning the championships in the type of match that they had was great, was fun. I'm happy for them. Top guys are tag team champions in the WWE. Like, once again, gold around their waist. I'm all for it.
I mean, it's been far too long since those guys have held championship gold, and I understand there was, you know, some injury angles and kind of some stutter stops where they kind of pushed them a little bit and then took them off TV a little bit and pushed them a little bit and took TV off them a little bit. But, you know, they've been having great matches on television as of late, and you know, the match with Roode and Gable had a whole lot of time to go, and amazing match. You know, Chad Gable, of course, goes out there and busts butt every single time he's in the ring, every single time he's given an opportunity. And it was, you know, the top guys are, as you mentioned, are the Raw Tag Team Championship. You know, does this keep, was the, you know, them possibly asking for the request, was that just kind of a rumor? Was that really substantiated? Is this somehow related? They're like, oh, well, you guys want out. What if we kind of, you know, give you guys the belts and kind of let you get, you know, start giving tags teams some more TV time? Are they correlated? Was it all kind of a story to kind of generate a little buzz and interest in the tag team division in them? We'll never know. You know, well, I mean, we may know, but it may be quite some time before any of that information comes to light. But happy, proud, the Revival, Raw Tag Team Champions for the time being.
FTR. I think that the FTR movement, hashtag fuck the Revival, that was on Being the Elite show kind of helped jar the Revival back into the WWE's mindset. I think that it was indeed a ploy, a storyline, a work, if you will, saying or rumors flying that they wanted their release. Before the Revival won the tag team titles on Monday, I honestly forgot that there were Raw tag team titles and that Gable and Bobby Roode were the champions. They had just held the belts. They were placeholders for a long time. So now that the Revival is back and you're showcasing tag team wrestling again on Raw, and putting the tag team belts on a true tag team, this gives others the opportunity to, again, be viable in this race to see who the better team is. It's good. The Revival's good. I can take nothing away from them. You have Heavy Machinery, who you've brought up from NXT, and now you have a reason for them to be on Raw, to go after the tag team titles. You have a reason for people to buy into the storylines that will lead up to this tag match instead of just throwing them in there and going, okay, tag teams, have at it. Now there's a title prominent, hopefully, if they keep this trend up going, and storylines can be developed and based off of, you know, a real tag team as opposed to somebody imitating Bobby Roode week after week.
The Revival are great. And they're going to rule over the tag team division. I think that there's a lot of great matches they will have now that they are on the spotlight. You know, they may have been an afterthought before, but now they are in the spotlight. They have the spotlight on them. It is now their time to shine. You know, some guys, you know, get the ball and drop it. They don't know what to do with it. These guys, though, since day one, have been putting the work and made everything they do successful. And I think that this will be no different. All they needed was the chance. They have the chance. And I think they will succeed. If indeed WWE is going to put an emphasis on tag team wrestling, there is no better way than to do it with the Revival. So, great things. I can't wait to see what they are. But great things. Now, on the other hand, Becky Lynch, reinstated by Triple H and Stephanie McMahon after she apologized, clear by her doctors, she's going to face Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. However, the chairman of WWE, Vince McMahon, came out and said, no, 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 no. Because he was out there to tell Becky that he was the man. And he suspended her for 60 days, which would be past WrestleMania 35. And he named Ronda's new opponent at WrestleMania, Charlotte Flair. Of course, this sent the Twitterverse bananas.
Yeah, and I think in a word, it was meant to. You know, it's a longer form story. Becky's still going to face Charlotte. My guess is Becky versus Charlotte at Fastlane to determine who fights Ronda at Mania. Rather than a triple threat, because I think that's just kind of a red herring, a teaser to try to get people excited and pissed off and interested in the next step of the story. But I think I do think the eventual story is Becky versus Ronda Rousey at WrestleMania. You know, they're just going to do this. They're going to draw this story out a lot longer. You know, because now even on Twitter, Ronda Rousey is saying she doesn't agree with, you know, McMahon's decision. Nope, you know, Charlotte versus Rousey is not the match that could headline WrestleMania. That's not the one that people want to see. People want to see Becky versus Ronda, you know. So I think that they're playing with the people. They're giving them a little bit of time to keep the whole thing interesting. Because you got a lot of TV time. If you literally put these two women against each other and you say, yes, you're going to fight, you have a whole lot of TV time you have to fill. With them going back and forth and then not really having a match, you know, because you want to protect the match. You don't want to put them in tag matches against each other and all this. You want literally the first time that they put hands against each other in the ring, you know, to be at WrestleMania to protect the main event match. You know, they're going to brawl and all this kind of stuff, but you're not going to have an official match, you know, a true lockup between them until the match at Mania. So it's a story that, as you mentioned, got the Twitterverse all in a shitstorm and everybody flipped their lids, but that was the intention of it. You know, now, you know, not only is Becky, you know, being, she's actually being held down by the McMahons, you know, the out of touch old guys who only want to push Charlotte. You know, they're playing into all these things the fans have been generating for a long time to make the story more interesting.
the WWE keeps their eye out on wrestling fans on Twitter, on Facebook, on social media. They hear you, and just when you think they're not listening, they throw a curveball designed to knock you off your feet. Taking Becky out of the main event picture for WrestleMania, inserting Charlotte, is something that people were upset about when they thought it was a triple threat. Now they're losing their minds, thinking that Becky will not be in the match at all, that it will be Charlotte versus Flair. Excuse me, Charlotte Flair versus Ronda Rousey for the main event of WrestleMania. I love the anger. I love the passion of the fans. And like you said, this is a way to have a long-form story be told on the road to WrestleMania. This is a long time coming. You want to protect not just Ronda, but Becky as well. You don't want to get Becky into a situation where she gets Nia Jaxed, where her face or some other body part gets damaged and or broken, and you literally, legitimately lose this WrestleMania potentially main event match because of an injury. Becky has been, of course, doing this for over 16 years. She has a little more wear and tear on her body. Not that Ronda doesn't have wear and tear from her MMA days, but Becky has a lot more miles, I guess we would have to say, on her physical form. And you want to keep her safe. And the safest thing for her right now is being this hero of the people and picking up a microphone and decimating people left and right with that microphone without having to throw a punch or have a punch thrown at her. It's beautiful. It's great. I'm looking forward to seeing Becky versus Ronda, because that's where we're going to end up. The short story is Becky Lynch won the Royal Rumble, which gives her the right to main event WrestleMania. Now, I know there's been exceptions in the past where people who have won the Royal Rumble have not made it to WrestleMania, but Becky Lynch, and in this day and age especially, you can't brush Becky Lynch under the rug like you did a Mr. Kennedy or somebody to that effect. You're going to have to give the redheaded last kicker her due and let her shine the main event. I look forward to the main event of next year's WrestleMania, which I personally want to see as Becky versus Triple H. Their face-off was great. With Vince as special referee, I'd book that right now. So, but Becky will make it there. Charlotte will be bowed out ungracefully, and it'll all make for good television.
Yeah, it's going to be great. I think that definitely people getting upset for maybe nothing. But, you know, they're telling stories. And people have gone crazy over this. People want to see it. And yeah, another thing, like, then I think brought the point is, like, they have plenty of time to continue to build the story. And there's still going to be a lot of different stuff they're going to be doing. And I think that she'll get back. It's not like we haven't seen this before. You know? Come on. It should upset people.
They did it only a few years ago with Daniel Bryan. I mean, he didn't win the Rumble, but, you know, of him trying to get into the main event of WrestleMania. The fans wanted it. The powers that be didn't. You know, like, it's... But yet again, it makes for a lot of chapters of TV, which is what they need. They need chapters. The final chapter is already set. They just need the story of how to get there and make it seem like it's more of a struggle, so that you're hanging on it and tuning in every week to see how it develops.
Yeah, so we'll see how that goes. Looking forward to that and the story and how it all plays out. But I hope at the end, Ronda versus Becky should be what headlines for WrestleMania. It should be just the two women. Hopefully the officials come to their senses and make that the match. They obviously have to be able to, they have to be paying attention to the fans and what they want and what they're cheering for. And I think that what is best for business right now is to give the fans what they want. So, speaking of that, they're giving their Saudi Arabia fans what they want, because I believe they have already scheduled their next Saudi Arabia trip for sometime this spring. So We'll definitely be seeing that. Interested to see what kind of gimmick they put up for the next Saudi Arabia show.
Who do they bring out of retirement this time? Do they bring back Bret the Hitman Hart for one more time? They brought back Shawn Michaels.
I got to think that they want the Hulkster in there. The Saudis are probably clamoring for the Hulkster.
For the Hulkster. Yeah, I could see that.
And he had a huge spot when he returned in Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, well, I mean, he's going to get a bigger pop in Saudi Arabia than he does in the United States. They're kind of a little more okay with racism there than we are in the United States.
Yeah, maybe a smart booking decision for WWE not to bring Hulk Hogan to WWE TV in the month of February.
You say it, and it sounds bad, but damn if it's not like the truth. So I'm not going to say anything. I'm gonna be frozen. I'm gonna let it go.
So now let's talk about some stuff that happened this past weekend. Danny, I know you weren't there, but I definitely want to get your thoughts about some of these things. One of the bigger things, and this is something that I wasn't there for either, but Mika, you were there as Action Wrestling put on a special 3 p.m. show on Friday afternoon for one Supernova making his wrestling debut. This is a partnership with Make-A-Wish Foundation as they were making a kid's dreams come true, became a heavyweight champion. Tell us a little bit about the show and the special moment that people got to play a part in, and you as well.
Like you said, this was a partnership. Action Wrestling does benefits. Wrestling gives back. They partner up with several charities, and this was for partly for Make-A-Wish Georgia, but this was a special wish granting that happened for a young man. His name is Tyler, but his wrestling name is Supernova. Tyler wants to be a wrestler, and due to his illness, you know, that's something that most would have told him no to, that you can't do that. You have limitations in what you can do physically. But Make-A-Wish, in conjunction with Action Wrestling, we laid a smackdown on that negative talk. And Tyler was able to go to One Fall Power Factory here in Atlanta, and he trained to become a wrestler. He trained, and Cody Rhodes showed up at training. Tyler and his family are invited to Double or Nothing in Las Vegas. I believe they're going to definitely take Cody up on his offer, as all expenses will be paid by the great folks, Cody Rhodes, and All Elite Wrestling. So that'll be fantastic. But this wish was a special wish. We invited people to come out to this show. It was free. And we had a ton of fans and friends and supporters come out. Tyler got to manage. He got to commentate. He got to ring the bell. But most importantly, Tyler got to step into the ring and wrestle. Not only did he wrestle, Tyler wrestled for a championship. Tyler is now the Wish champion. A special belt was created for this show. Of course, it was created for Tyler. He was awarded the belt after his huge, huge win. And you want to talk about something special, something touching, something just heartstrings being tugged to watch this young man just smile ear to ear and enjoy himself and to be immersed in something that he loved and perhaps was told he would never really be able to do and accomplish. To see his family, the looks on their faces, the smiles, the tears of joy. Make-A-Wish, I know, with being wrestling fans, we see it all the time how WWE does vignettes about their superstars, John Cena especially, being a wish granter. This was something that I personally just, I'm crying now thinking about it, talking about it, because to be able to give back and to see how your time and your effort, how it affects these young people, to give them some joy when they're fighting In some cases, terminal illnesses mean just so much more than even my words can describe. So I'm happy for Tyler. I'm happy for his family. I'm thankful that everybody came out to help out. And just by being there, that was one of the greatest feelings in the world. I've done a lot of charity in my life, but this is one of the things that I will go to my grave being so happy that I was a part of this.
Yeah, and of course, WrestleAction had the regular Friday night show that evening as well. And of course, Tyler Supernova was the guest of honor. And that was cool when we started the show and he came in and the whole crowd was chanting for Tyler. It definitely made him feel special. And Stevie Richards, who was at the show Friday night, he also went out of his way to spend time with Tyler, to make him part of his match, to take pictures and hang out with him throughout the night. He was not brought in for that. He was not tied into the Wish, but he still took his own personal time outside of when he was wrestling, what he had been brought to do, to make that kid feel special. Of course, Tyler is a big ECW fan. And being able to see Stevie Richards, big Stevie Cool, there, and being able to take photos with him and hang out with him, and that was definitely something special as well. Classy guy. So everybody should definitely follow WrestleAction1 on the Twitter machine. They're a great promotion, doing a lot of great things, giving back to the community. Now, a lot of the great stuff, Making Towns Wrestling had a show, a lot of women stepping in here and coming to the Scenic City and showing out. And I think, to me, I don't know about you, Mika, but to me, the my biggest takeaway was Savannah Stone. She looked great on the show. I think that she's grown leaps and bounds. And that woman, she's got star written all over her. I think as she continues to progress in the sport and entertainment field that we like to call pro wrestling.
Absolutely. Every woman brought their A game for this Making Towns Wrestling, but Savannah Stone was one of the standouts. Her match with Ruthless Lala, honestly, looking at it just from the beginning of the match, I thought Savannah Stone was going to get her butt handed to her. I didn't think that she had what it took to hang with someone as physical as Ruthless Lala. Those two ladies got into that ring. And you want to talk about hard hitting strikes and just a physicality like you're not used to seeing, I think, in women's wrestling. And honestly, I think that they hit harder than some of the guys who participated in the SCI later that night. But these two went to an absolute war with one another. I'd love to see it again. Savannah has grown leaps and bounds since the last time we saw her. And I just can't wait to see what else she comes up with as she goes further along in her career. Ruthless Lala is, of course, just going all over the area and showing that this women's wrestling thing, guys, it is real. The Making Towns, Papa Hales talked about it, and the Making Towns Twitter talked about it, that this is no longer that whole pillow fight type mentality, that these women are physical and just as rough and tumble as the guys. And this, every woman showed it, but these two in particular stepped up and showed just what they were made of and just what they were willing to do to pick up the win. It was great.
Now, my highlight of the weekend, though, however, was the circus. The circus is fine. The circus is not closing. The circus is back together. The carnies, Carrie and Nick fought each other inside the East Hamilton High School, and They spit at each other, slapped each other, punched each other. But you know what? Brothers have to fight. Trip Cassidy was there as a referee, trying to bring some order to the disorganized chaos. But in the end, and we have to credit Team Tag here for attacking Nick and Trip post-match. Kerry came out for the save. And as we left that night, as we left the Cindy City, we all had to rejoice. The circus is back together and stronger than ever. Danny, first thoughts from you on the carnies. You know, putting away all their differences and all the animosity. Just when we thought that the circus was dead, you know, we can now scream loud and clear that circus will live forever.
I mean, yeah, I was, you know, I watched, I wasn't there to see it, but I definitely have seen and heard all about since. Very happy that the carnies, you know, have been able to put their differences aside and come together again as a trio. They're definitely one of my favorite acts on the scene. So I was kind of interested to see where they were taking this possible, you know, this feud, and see were they really gonna part for a long time and take some time working on other projects. Thankfully, that is not the case. Sometimes, you know, a common enemy can help bring you back together and help you forget about your petty differences that kind of made you hate each other, you know, or supposedly hate each other. And you know, I mean, as bad as Team Tag can be, you know, they managed to do something good, albeit I assume inadvertently. I think they were hoping to put the carnies away forever and not have to deal with them again, but they ended up bringing them back together. Just wondering when and where we will see, you know, all three of the carnies versus all three of Team Tag. And, you know, looking forward to seeing where the carnies now reunited, where they take the wrestling world, you know, where we see them bring the circus.
I love the fact that all three carnies were there. And like you said, you guys point out, brothers have to fight. There are sometimes, what is the phrase? You always hurt the ones you love. Nick and Kerry definitely tried to hurt one another. At one point, Nick Iggy scaled along with Kerry Alpha coming up behind him, these bleachers in the middle of this high school gym, and Kerry knocked Nick down to the floor from the heights of, I don't know, 8 feet in the air or so. It was crazy. Bodies got laid out. And these two continued to rip and tear and claw at each other while Trip continued to look very Shawn Michaels-esque as one can look.
In his booty shorts, no less.
An homage to Shawn, who has, of course, fought his brother Triple H as well and worn these stripes and the short shorts. So it was great to see. And the end of the circus, or the almost end of the circus, when Nick won by sunset flipping Kerry Awful. You can't sunset flip Kerry Awful unless your name is Nick Iggy. And picking up the win like that, it was surprising. Watching Kerry walk away was heartbreaking. But seeing him come back, because as much as you may dislike your brother, your sister, your sibling, that is your family. And nobody messes with family without getting their ass whooped. So I appreciated Kerry coming back and the celebration that ensued. And yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing my boys, the carnies, stand over a fallen Team Tag, throwing up their number 666, especially that Kevin Blue. He needs to go down.
So the circus will continue to be open for business, and I am so excited for it. I am all over that. I'm happy to see that they're back together. And yeah, that match against Team Tag, I'm sure that is coming. Where will it happen? Will it happen at Action? Will it happen in the Cynic City? There can be different options. More to come later on. But so excited about just how pro wrestling is looking this new year so far. We're a month and a half into 2019. And, you know, there's so much talk about. Of course, All Elite Wrestling selling out. Soon as tickets come on sale. Pre-sale apparently was very successful. And when tickets went out on sale to the general public, sold out. They'll be in Las Vegas on May the 25th. Stack show there. More to come as things continue to get announced, including a possible TV deal. I don't know if you guys noticed the poster for All Elite Double or Nothing, but one of the logos in the bottom was that of Access TV. Now, I'm not wanting to reading things, but you put the logo of a TV network. I mean, you could say that maybe just be a sponsor, but is there more to it than that? Could they have stricken a deal with Access TV?
I mean, it is possible. You know, I mean, rumors were abound that, you know, that when, you know, at Super Bowl weekend, when they were, you know, made the appearance at the McClune promotion show we went to, they were also in town talking possible TV deals, of course. You know, people think TV, they think Atlanta, they think Turner Broadcasting. So, speculation was abound that they were trying to talk TV deals with a possible Turner network. I did hear something that Barnett and Jim Ross would not be returning for commentary for the New Japan show and Access. So I don't know if there's possible shakeup there. You know, I don't know if the New Japan on Access is going to continue. You know, are they going to be adding additional programming possibly with All Elite? You know, All Elite Wrestling, the full show may not be on Access. It may just be like it was on WGN, where they just kind of showed the hour pre-show, and then you could order, you know, the rest of it on Fight. Maybe they do something like that, where they show the pre-show live on Access, and then you can, you know, order the live feed of the main show. Yet again, it's, you know, I mean, we still got a few months till the show. Tickets just went on sale and sold out in 4 minutes approximately, after there was kind of some mix up of the pre-sale. Apparently a lot of people who put in to have the pre-sale code didn't work. I think the site kind of got flooded and a lot of people were left in the cold. Some people kind of frustrated that they weren't getting the tickets like they wanted to. But the show sold out in 4 minutes. Fantastic for them. You know, we'll see where All Elite goes. You know, what else they have up their sleeve. I think the first big thing is, of course, you know, getting Double or Nothing in Vegas, get that show done and under their belts, and see if TV follows, if more shows are coming, you know, and where the promotion goes.
4 minutes. 4 minutes is all it took to help change the face of wrestling. Pre-sale codes and all that aside, the buzz is what they wanted. The buzz is what they needed. The buzz is what they continue to get. With their rash of signings, with them announcing this show, with them promoting this show in their own way on social media, and having the people who are under contract talk about this thing, it's already bigger than anyone knows what to expect of. There's no telling what is going to happen other than the fact that you're going to have tons of fans in Vegas with tons of the best indie talent that is out there. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens, because anything is possible. This is a new day, no pun intended, for independent wrestling. To see what happens when you take a conglomerate and try to push it forward. I believe they're going to have a television deal before this show airs. A real television show excuse me, a real television deal that they will be able to market and promote along with the show itself. I think there's a lot of people, Turner included, if they're smart, who are chomping at the bit to try to help push this kind of rogue indie brand out there to the masses. Because if they can get advertising dollars along the likes of the WWE like they get, then it is a safe return on an investment for the TV shows and any sponsors that they bring on board. Elite Wrestling has something that a lot of the super indies don't have, and that is a big, huge bankroll with, you know, the cons, but also they have connections that the others do not. And that's what's going to help push them and keep them buzzing around. And who knows, that TV deal coming announced sooner rather than later, along with, I feel, a host of other signees that may or may not surprise people. So I'm excited. I did not get a ticket for anybody asking. So if anybody wants to donate a ticket to your girl, I love Vegas. I love it when it's hot. I love it when it's cold. I just love Vegas, you know. It's not a gamble to get your girl a ticket. So, you know, hey, take it for what it is.
A lot of great things are coming upon us. One thing that is not, however, coming will be an episode of the Fans of Wrestling show next week, as I will be on vacation. I'll be out of town. And so we'll be back in 2 weeks here on the FOW Radio Network. Be sure to subscribe. We're available on iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, Podbean, Google Play. Check out many of the 200 plus back episodes that we've recorded. A lot of great and good and some okay content. Going back to the early beginnings, that you know, we've come a long way. But anyways, check this out. Follow us on the Twitter machine at FOW Radio. Danny's on Twitter at Danny F in Danger. Mika's on Twitter at Mika Villas. I'm on Twitter at Yellowman PA. And until next time, keep watching wrestling.